Mikey and Ren Eden, yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Mikey and Ren Eden 2024 edition. This is your boy, Michael.
Michael, this is Rindog.
How's it going, Rindog?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah?
Just a little insurance frustrated currently, but fine.
This is a podcast about jobs, insurance, benefits. We'll tell all you folks out there in the listener universe, there are benefits to being self-employed. Mm-hmm. I can't list many of them right now.
Making your own schedule.
That's for sure.
That's the
biggest one, mm-hmm. for sure. No boss.
Yep. Arguably the worst boss on earth, which is yourself. Yeah.
Because that boss is always there.
Yeah, and always judging.
My boss is riding me. Yeah, I know, bitch. Yeah. My boss is inside of me.
Yeah. My boss is literally in my head all moments.
But like the big kind of parts of the year that I think our household finds the most stressful are, for me, it's the beginning of the year, the very beginning of the year, because it's like all the things are due. So like it's like, oh, ramping up towards taxes.
Yeah.
And then also like for at least in our household, like the 15th of January is like all of the, like it's like property taxes are due, insurance premiums are due, all the things. It's like, oh my gosh, I just got done with Christmas and now I have to write like all these checks. And then the other one is insurance time, which is like, oh man, we get to like either surf the marketplace, cool, or it's like this year we like found our own insurance because we realized, oh, the marketplace is just Kayak, right, basically for insurance. And then it's just like there's all the insurance that's offered to like self-employed people, Army of One people, is garbage, mm-hmm. basically. You pay a ton, but it's basically garbage compared to like if you worked at Nike or whatever, pick a big company. And so it's just like poor Corinne, she's our insurance handler. Wolf, bro.
Yeah, I just didn't really nail it this year. And my insurance companies, they're just not holding to their contract, which
on,
is
guys.
what a big part of the problem is.
Yeah, yeah. Just do what you're told.
Anyway. Okay, so that's
anywho.
Welcome to our podcast about food.
Welcome to our podcast about food. And what is health insurance if not the after effects of the food that you eat?
Sure.
Yeah. We don't really have a super structured show this round.
We've been off for 6 weeks. And
big
you
fucking
think,
surprise.
You'd think we've spent all of this time.
Yeah.
Brainstorming.
Sure.
Storyboarding.
You thought we were going to come with like RuPaul and like Yasser Arafat? I don't know. I was trying to think of a big political.
Wow.
Is he dead? Probably. No, but we're okay.
current event.
Current event.
Yeah,
Boutros Ghali.
I am an acupuncturist.
Oh God,
herbalist.
She's going to describe us.
Yeah, yep. I think it's important every time we're on the microphones.
Yep.
Just in case they're new ears.
That's true.
Yeah, and Mikey is a chef.
True.
And a food innovator.
Yes.
And so we come to food from sort of very different places.
We do.
And yet we create harmony.
We do.
With our meals.
Yes.
For our family.
For our family. Mm-hmm. Rin has become a vegan recently. And, and so that's a new challenge in our household that we all
I
want
have
to
not.
Talk about. She's not.
No, but we have started eating, I would say, what percentage more plant-based?
What percentage more?
Yeah,
I would
like
say that
40% more plant-based.
Probably, yeah. I would say that like our house is 20% plant-based.
Okay.
Total.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we watched this Netflix twin study where they had, you know, a set of twins, or they had like 30 or 40 sets of twins or something, and they had them randomly selected to one of them eat an omnivorous diet, and then one of them eat a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. And it was only for, what was it, 8 weeks?
8 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. And then they reviewed, you know, how things changed. So, you know, some of that was like as basic as like weight loss, things like that. They also really instituted like a pretty intense exercise regimen And they were very accountable for everything that they ate. Like, they had to keep food logs and, you know, they could be sneaking stuff or whatever, but they kept people, I think, pretty, like, true to it.
Well, they provided meals for the first 4 weeks.
For the first 4 weeks, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but it was just... You could still cheat on the side, I mean.
You know, it's... We've been thinking in this house a lot about... most of our household budget goes towards food.
For sure. Vast majority. I mean, like, way over half.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so, because we have the ability to do that, we are like, you know, how can we make our dollars make the most sense?
Right.
And so, a lot of that means... a lot of that means shopping at the farmer's market and being really intentional about the meat that we buy.
Yeah. And I think what you're implying about making the most sense is not our dollars making the most sense of, like, how to eat frugally. It's more how to eat.
Well, some of it is that.
Some of it. Farmer's market's not frugal.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was. I was like, oh, you shop at the farmer's market. You're like, it's cheap. It's low. It's much more expensive.
Yeah.
But I just think it's like, we're keeping the money local. Mm-hmm. We're supporting a business that I super support.
We're paying a premium for sometimes, like, regenerative agriculture or, you know, just for a small farm to be able to be sustainable.
Totally. And we're also like, I truly believe in eating with the seasons. Like, you should eat, you know, what is supposed to be eaten during the time of the year. And, like, of course, we have berries right now that Riggy's eating that I'm mega enjoying.
We also have
avocados, chocolate, you know.
Frozen berries
that's true.
Farms has picked and froze.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and I'm fully... Okay, so here's... I can't remember the name of the show, but a lot of people are watching it. And I've had a bunch of discussions with people about it because I was very frustrated by it. I thought it was very biased towards plant-based. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like...
For sure.
From the it was all these Berkeley scientists that were like running the study. They all are these like wealthy Californians. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like super biased. And they only showed examples of bad meat. Like, they only...
Factory farming.
Factory farms, CAFOs, like these horrible, you know, Food Inc. sort of situations where, like, chickens that can't fucking stand up and, you know, cows that are being... that are all mashed together. You know, and it's like... I just don't think that's the thing to show. Like, I think the idea is show that meat can happen in a responsible way, but not at the pace with which our country eats it, you know?
Right.
Like, meat should be seen as an extravagance, like, which it is. Like, as, like, you know, something that's, like, you should think about it more than just eating, you know, a diaper, you know, a chicken slab on a diaper from Kroger or whatever. You should think about it. And you should be like, this is the most important part of my meal of every, you know, each week. And maybe, and you don't have to, like, buy all local meat. That's, like, financially, like, impossible for a lot of people. But, like, eat, you know, if you eat meat 5 days a week or something like that, have one of those meals, just even one meal, be, like, from a local, like, a, you know, someone that's raising local beef. You know, that makes a huge difference. If every household did that in the country, it would be huge.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know, I appreciate what that show was trying to do, which is to say that the majority of meat in this country is factory farm.
Right.
Gnarly CAFO.
Well, yeah.
Meat,
but I mean,
where the animal welfare is not considered.
Right. But that's because, I mean, this is the same argument that I have about the electric car. Like, great idea in theory. We're going to be buying one. But, like, when Americans do something, we have no fucking chill.
Right.
Like, we can't just say, we should all convert, or, like, switch over to electric cars, and we all should have, like, the size car that we actually need. Nope. Americans are like, I need a fucking electric Hummer.
Right.
It's like, no, you don't need an electric Hummer, you dumbass.
Right.
Like, people are like, we like meat in America. Well, I have to eat meat 4 times a day, 6 times a day with beef jerky snacks and all the things that I eat. And if every American or meat eater is going to consume meat at that level, of course it has to be like factory farmed like it is. Well, there's no way that a regenerative system could support the level of meat consumption in our country.
Well, and the other piece is that, you know, we talk about this often, that when we get our meat from, like, we're going to go to the farmer's market today.
Yeah.
We'll get a couple of items of meat at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
It is wildly expensive.
Well, and so, like,
inaccessible to, I would say, the majority of people.
Oh, for sure.
To shop that way for their meat.
For sure. I mean, like, regularly I will get a regular chicken from the farm that we love, and it's $40.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Costco, you're getting this, what, an $8 roasted chicken?
Right.
It's wild. And this is, you know, a raw frozen chicken.
Right. Right. Yeah, so that's to say nothing about the fact that you then also have to have the skills, the time,
sure,
to be able to break down,
yeah,
and cook a whole raw chicken.
Oh, for
right?
sure.
And so
yeah, it's wild. And you know, it's, and I just think that, you know, I love so like there's never been a better time to be plant-based.
Sure.
Like, or to have plant-based options in your world. Like they have Miyoko's in the show, which is like, you know, this amazing nut-based cheese, and it's fucking good.
It's
like
delicious.
It's really, really good. But I just, you know, it's like everybody watched An Inconvenient Truth years ago and they were like, well, so what then? I can't drive my car anymore. I can't fly on planes. And I liked it. At the end of that movie, they said they had all these things that were like, no, you don't have to do all that stuff. Here's some things you can do. And like one of them, the one that I did was I changed all the light bulbs in my house to energy efficient light bulbs.
Right.
And it was like, they were like, if everybody did that in the country, it would be like taking 350,000 cars off the road, you know? And that's like the thing for me about this show is like, it should have given like an example of like Daiya right now, all their commercials, which are fucking terrible, like on podcasts. The person that's doing these commercials, I'm like, who wrote this? It sounds so stupid. But what they're implying is use Daiya cheese on a real beef burger.
Hmm.
They're like, you don't have to have like Daiya cheese on a plant-based burger. It's like, you know, just make part of your life or a little bit of your life plant-based, and you can do it in a way that's really delicious. Like find the products that are dope and then eat those, but also eat them with the other shit that you like. Like put real cheese on a plant-based burger or vice versa. I love a veggie burger with bacon on top.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about it. It's just like, you don't have to overhaul your whole life and suddenly become like a Berkeley vegan.
Right.
You can still eat meat.
Right.
And like, you know, but my thing is like, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like enjoy your food. Think about your food. Don't just mindlessly wolf it down,
yep,
which I think a lot of this show was about.
And also, you know, we, I think in this family a lot, we think about kind of crowding our plate.
Yeah.
Crowding our plate with like, you know, so breakfast today, avocados, yep, on the plate, greens were on the plate.
Yeah.
I had a little fermented veggies on the plate, right? So I make very little space, you know, and then we have our eggs and we, yep, have this like nice
like
little
biscuit,
almond flour biscuit, yep, right? So it's just kind of crowding the plate, mm-hmm, with as much phytonutrient as you can, with
so
as much vegetable,
yeah,
as,
yeah,
you can, and fruit as you can. And then, oh, okay, I've got this kind of condiment.
Yeah, meat condiment.
That's meat.
Yeah, which I totally feel. Like, I was out in Colorado with my dad, and my dad is like, my parents are like unrepentant meat eaters. You know, mm-hmm, they love it. And to my dad, my mom will send my dad with like these like inch-thick steaks from Costco, and they're fucking great, you know? And I like pan-cooked them in butter. They were amazing. You know, and I ate a salad, but it was a steak with a little salad,
right,
on the side.
Right,
and
right.
And it was a lot, dude. It was so good. I ate every bite, but I felt like garbage afterwards.
Right.
If I had eaten half that steak and twice that salad, I would have felt so much better.
Totally.
And it would have been, it's a little bit more reverent of the meat. You,
yes,
know, it's like you don't,
yes,
have to like bathe yourself in 16 ounces of beef fat to like.
Right. Well, isn't that, I think reverence is such a good word because it's like, you know, when you're going and you're meeting the rancher or the farmer,
yeah,
and then getting handed this bird that they have raised.
Right. Yeah.
It's a different vibe than the Costco diaper.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, for sure. Well, and it's like, you know, we have friends who hunt, and like my friends that hunt aren't like pulling the elk meat out of the freezer that they have. And they're like, I'm going to eat an 18 ounce elk steak today. No, they're eating it. And they're like, I communed with this animal. Like,
right,
I did kill this animal, but I also like, I had a relationship with this animal, and I'm going to like, be like, this elk tenderloin that I'm eating tonight is so special.
Right.
And you know, you don't have, I just think that there's a level of responsibility that we have if we are going to eat meat to understand that it was a living creature.
Right.
And to mindlessly consume the way that we do, like, here was my argument after seeing the movie. Don't tell anybody, but replace all of the meat that's in, like, Taco Bell tacos, maybe even burgers. Like, replace it with fake meat. Like, Taco Bell tacos is a great example, right? Nobody's going to Taco Bell because they're like, you know what I love? Beef.
The ground beef
at Taco Bell. The ground beef at Taco Bell. No. The ground beef, quote unquote, it talk about is like cat food, basically. And it's, and I'm not, you know, I'm not shading Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell on occasion, but like just replace it with fake meat. No one will know the difference,
right,
and it'll
right.
make an unbelievable dent in the system.
I know, it's so true.
You know?
It's so
and
true.
Then still
I
have
like that
stakes.
Kind of I like that kind of vigilantism too.
Fuck yeah. Like if I was the CEO of Taco Bell, I just wouldn't tell anybody. And I would tell it would be on the menu. Like it would say, there would be something that set like it maybe be a lowercase b or something. It'd be something that indicate like not there'd be
it'd say BEAF or something.
Boof. Yeah. Beef. I like how do you pronounce that? Yeah. Or there'd be like there would be quotation marks around it, but they would be like in like light cream colored. So you could just if you look closely enough at the drive-thru menu, you'd be like, oh, there are quotation marks. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, you know, and we live in like we're living in the Northwest. Like we have year-round farmers markets.
We have amazing access to
yeah.
every grocery store that you could imagine.
Yeah.
I don't
have any sort of, I'm an omnivore, an completely proud omnivore. Like I love dairy. I love beef. I love, you know, all the things. I also love vegetables. I just think there is like a, I don't know, man, we got to look at what's happening to the planet. Like it, I just think everybody like just try. One of the funnest things is just go try out some of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Go try out, like, and I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the meat analogs. I don't really like the, like, Beyond Burgers. I don't really like the fake chicken stuff. But especially in, like, the cheese and kind of dairy world,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of stuff happening that's super good.
And also, you said veggie burgers. Like, making a veggie burger is fucking delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, some beans and some quinoa
mushrooms.
And some spices and some mushrooms.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like...
You can crush
yum.
It. You can make a really delicious... And it's like, you know, just think of it like... Just don't try to think of it as, like, one-to-one with a burger.
No.
It's a different thing. But right. it's also, like, it's super delicious.
Yeah.
And you can put all the condiments on.
Yep.
Put all the stuff that you normally put on a burger. Put yep. bacon on it. Put cheese on it. Whatever.
Pickles, mayo.
All the things. Yeah.
I'm like really dreaming of that.
I do want a burger right now. Yeah. So this all kind of leads into, I think, so Rinny's a vegan.
I'm hardly. Far
she's,
from.
She's in the, she's in Downward Dog while we're recording this, and she's a vegan. And, but then I also went, I go to the doctor like once every 3 years or something like that. And, but I just went to him and I was like, here's the deal, bro. I've got a new baby. I love him. I love my wife. I want to stick around for as long as possible. And I was like, what are some of the things that like we can do to like just, you know, kind of up my longevity, up my metabolism, which I feel like has been lacking, you know, and he's like at 35, basically your metabolism just starts going down.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got me on just this like really awesome group of things. You know what they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, like probiotics. He got me on like garlic pills,
mm-hmm.
oregano oil.
Yeah, he's a real like true functional medicine doctor
yeah.
where he's like going for the gut first. So,
yeah.
And you know, I mean, this really speaks to, eating more plants.
Sure.
Because the more kind of plant diversity that you have in your belly, the happier the good bugs are
yeah.
in your belly, basically.
And he was also talking about just like, you know, the idea that including fiber with anything, so like
for
fibrous
sure.
vegetables, he's like whatever like potentially quote unquote naughty thing that you're eating or drinking,
mm-hmm.
The fibers just slows everything down. Fiber and fat, like oil
well,
and
fat,
things like that.
That's what I was going to say.
Slow things
like,
down.
It's those two things are key. And this is, I think we've talked about it before with our baby, but
sure.
this is something that, you know, I've done from the beginning of him starting to eat is that, you know, I look at his plate and I just think, where can I put some fat?
Oh,
where
yeah.
can I dump some olive oil? Where can I sprinkle hemp seeds? Where can I put the avocado?
Yeah.
Where can I put the slab of butter?
Shout out to our friends Sebastiano's, Dan and Elise at Sebastiano's. They
delicious
have
olive oil.
Really good olive oil. And there was the other day at dinner, Rinny just dumped, like Riggy was done, but she like dumped 2 tablespoons of olive oil just on the table in front of him. And he was just like mopping it up with his hand and just licking it down. It was so cute.
He recently has gotten on board with dippers.
Yeah. Oh God, which is so cute.
And so whatever, I'll do a little yogurt dipper or a little ketchup or
hummus. Yeah.
And he now says dip. And so I thought, why not a little finger dip?
He kind of says dip like he's saying dick kind of.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that is something that's like invaluable, talking about the kind of crowding your plate.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, vegetables, yes, that's going to provide the fiber. And then fat, like if you've got, you know, some pumpkin seeds or some hemp seeds or some olive oil that you want to drizzle on those veggies, great.
So what you're saying is crowd it up, lube it up.
Crowded
eat it up.
And inhale.
I just like crowd it up, lube it up, eat it up.
Yeah.
That's the title of the episode. Crowd it up. I'm just writing this down. Lube it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just with everything in life, really.
Okay, so insert Law and Order soundtrack here. Dun 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 dun. So we have a quick true crime moment. True food crime in our house.
Listen to our eps before. We've now had two food crime episodes.
Yes, we have.
Where we do, you know, a pretty deep investigation into what we consider food crimes.
Yes.
The first of which was Mikey's
father,
who ordered a half and half.
He ordered a hot water.
Right. I mean, that's the order to say it in, right? He ordered a hot water with half and half,
yep.
Which he mixed.
He did mix together on a plane.
Mixologist style.
In public, on a plane, on an enclosed plane. Flying.
And not only ordered it, mixed it, but then drank it.
In front of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Without shame or embarrassment.
No, it's like a flasher or something. Like his crime, like public masturbator. His crime was very, it was because it was public. Yeah, and then the second criminal convicted, was me for eating Christmas cookies that were intended for Santa Claus.
Made by a three-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my family, we're like the Capones or the Gottis crime family. And this leads me to my furry daughter, my dog, Avi. I'll paint a picture for you. So we were
She's nonverbal, so we can't... We can't interview her.
I thought about doing her. Like, so this is how we do Abby's voice in our house. She's got a little bit of a lateral lisp. But I decided that would be unpleasant as a listener.
At best.
So basically what happened was Riggy, our adorable 14-month-old baby, he was having a FaceTime with his grandmother, Rin's mom. And we were doing the Where's Riggy's blank game. So it was Where's Riggy's nose? Points at his nose. Where's Riggy's ear? Points at his ear. And then I said, Where's Riggy's penis? And so Riggy was like gesturing towards his diaper area. And he was like, my penis is in here. But nobody can see
but
it.
But grandma wants to see it.
Yeah. So he unbuttoned his, he ripped his diaper off. And showed his penis to his grandmother. It was a lot. Not saying that his penis is a lot. It's very tiny. But but he got fully naked. So the phone call ended, not because of that, but after that. And we were like, let's be cool Portland parents. And let's just let him kind of, you know.
Well, what I decided to do was take him and put him over the toilet. Because sure. Like I've heard, I don't know, people do this. Like.
In a lot of the world.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, and yeah. And like
and it's
when
a
people
diaper
are
or
like
toilet training thing.
Starting to toilet train. Yeah. Not that we're doing that, but I was just like, I don't know. What will he do? He watches daddy pee. Will he do something?
Sure. And you also said, Mikey, are you cool if we leave him without a diaper for a while? Like all he might do is pee. He might pee a little bit. And I was like, great. Whatever. We don't have like, you know,
precious
carpets or anything yet. No. So Rinny holds him over the toilet. Nothing happens. Puts him in front of the fireplace, and I'm working on my computer. And about 3 minutes later, Rinny's in the other room. I'm on my computer, and I look over, and he's covered in poop. His legs are pooped. His arms are pooped.
He pooped his butt.
It pooped his butt. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, boy. And so I go, I'm like, hey, buddy. And I go pick him up, and I'm like holding him, you know, like at stiff arm length. And I'm like, and I say to Rin, I'm like, Rin! Riggy pooped everywhere. It's like a big poop. And there's like, not to be too blue, but welcome to our show. And so there's a big poop, like a Snickers size poop. And then there's a couple kind of smaller poops. And I think they're smaller because he rubbed through them, right?
Yeah.
And so I go, Rinny, he pooped all over the rug. I'm taking him up. So I went up, threw him in the bath. No more than 6 seconds later, Corinne enters the living room. And she kind of goes, where's the poop? And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? Where's the poop?
Have you lost your sight?
There's poop on our white, like, ish rug. And there wasn't.
No.
Why?
Well, in the 6.5 seconds that it took me to get from one area of our house to another,
yeah,
our small 13 to 14 pound mutt,
maybe 13 before,
yeah,
14 after,
dog had taken advantage of the moment where no one was in the room.
Yeah.
And
consumed.
Consumed.
Yeah.
She's, our child's, yeah, bowel movement.
Rinny's plant-based. I'm an omnivore. Abby's butt-based.
So Abby's a poopivore.
She ate the poop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so much, dude.
I had to take a photo of what was left because it was really,
I didn't believe her,
just small particles that, yeah, I don't think that she could
get, like, off the carpet.
Yeah, get off of the rug. And wow, I was uncontrollably laughing. I think, yeah, that was my, like, discomfort response. Mikey immediately had, like, a gag reflex situation.
And it takes a lot to get me. Like, I'm like, I can kind of handle most things. I will admit I do have a thing about, like, poop grosses, like, changing his diapers. There's some diapers that are, like, I've talked about them before. They're war crimes. They're crimes against humanity, specifically these humans, you and I. But, yeah, this one, even just the because I had smelled it was a lot, and then she ate a lot. Just the volume of it was pretty sincere.
Right. Well, volume, it's like a ratio thing, right? Because, yeah, she's a small animal.
Yeah, like this poop would have constituted probably a 30th of her total body.
Well, and I also then think about, we were on a walk this morning, and I was cleaning my son's shit yesterday,
yep,
that she had eaten.
Yep.
And then this morning I was picking up her shit, which was possibly like his recycled poop.
Sure. Yeah. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Yeah. Re-poop. Yeah. She really did reanimate that poop situation. And so,
I mean, and the majority of my cells were grateful because,
yep,
it's like, then I don't know. Then I don't have to pick it up. And
that's true.
She clearly,
no, she helped,
enjoyed it.
Yeah. The meal so nice that you ate it thrice or twice, maybe twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're talking about the food that we're cooking for our baby. Evidently it's good enough that it's not only good for him, but it's also great on the recycle.
Yeah. Passed through the digestive tract.
Yeah. I mean, Abby, ultimately she gave herself a fecal transplant and also did kind of like a little light fermented meal for herself. Yeah. So, yeah, so, Abby, would you like to come in the room real quick? She gets her walking into the room. We find you. We convict you. Mm. You are guilty of this.
Yes.
Yeah. She's claiming that there was another party, that, oh, someone came into the house. A bird swooped in and ate it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, we're going to hold you in contempt, I guess. And then, is that what that means? Now you're going to double jail. Yeah. So, yeah, anyways, that's our show. It amounts to a lot of a show. There's substance, not just poop. There were some nuggets of wisdom and poop. We love you guys. Mikey and Rin, eat in on all your platforms. Mikey and Rin on all the socials, so Instagram and such. I'm at Mikey Sheether on Instagram. I post a lot of stuff about Riggy. It's mostly what I post. Nothing about the poop. It's, you know, I don't need to be spreading this far and wide, but you guys get to listen to it, so.
Yeah.
Got anything else to say?
I think putting it out into the airwaves has spread it far and wide. Oof. And Abby's kind of spreading it far and wide now. She's like pooping all over the neighborhood.
Woof. Woof. No pun intended. Let's eat at MikeyandRin.com. We love you guys so much. We'll be back next week with another installment of Mikey and Rin. Eat in. You're fucking welcome.
We love you.
Ta-ta.
Let's talk about poo.
Let's talk about poo, baby. A butt baby. Bye.